Hello, and welcome to Living Proof, the teaching ministry of Joseph Castillo. We encourage you to listen to today's message over and over again, so that the Word of God will be in your spirit. Be a blessing, share it with your friends, and we pray that you'll be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We also invite you to visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you. Bishop Joseph Castillo here with Apostle Paul Sherrill, and we're blessed to be with you all this beautiful morning. I'd like to start the day in prayer, and we're excited here to be with everybody. And we know that when the broadcast first starts live, people get notifications, and it takes a little time for people to start logging in. But let's open up the morning with a little bit of prayer. And I like to just pray in the Holy Ghost for a minute or two, and then welcome people and dedicate the service to the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Blessing. All right. Well, Father God, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for today's broadcast. Yes, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together. Thank you for the cameras and the just the technology and the softwares, and thank you for the fellowship, God, with Apostle Paul Sherrill. And thank you for all the wonderful people that have been tuning in every day, joining us, praying with us, and as we minister to them. Father, we bless this broadcast. We just pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost to touch lives, speak to people's hearts. God, I just love how the Word says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. A divine answer for the questions in the hearts of people. Thank you, God, that you inspire us today to speak forth divine answers for people watching from all over the world. People have been tuning in from Canada and Philippines and Tulsa and just different countries, England and so forth. Bless everybody, Father God, that tunes in. Let them receive a fresh touch of God, a fresh touch of your fire. In Jesus' name, and we thank you, Father, for it. Pastor Paul, you want to pray anything?
Yes, Father, we thank you for this wonderful day to be able to speak words that encourage, words of truth, words, Father, that emanate from the heart of God. Lord, let those that hear become doers. Father, I ask you to bless every household, every person, Father, whether they on live or they watch it later. In Jesus' name, Father.
Amen. 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 I'd like to just pray for a minute in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rabba Shikala, Bada Bada Bashir, Abanda Bakura Bashiki, Telebele Beshete, Roba Shete, Lamanda Labakura Bashiki, Telebanda Bashokoto Labasata. O Rambekele Beshetele Bekele Mashundo da Bokora Basakata da Balada Bashata. I believe I've received those mysteries in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're blessed to be on here. We have several viewers that have come on live, and we want to welcome them here. And we have, let's see, who is this? This is, let's see.
Ejima Zion Elijah.
Yes, Ejima Zion Elijah. And they're saying, please kindly decree upon me instant, complete, and supernatural healing, brand new organs, total restoration, pain-free due to an accident. So they had an accident, and they just tuned in, and they believe in God for a creative miracle. So let's pray into that. Go. We'll let you pray into this one here for...
Father, thank you for my brother. Lord, in Jesus' name, I come against, Father, this affliction that has created this situation, Father. I stand as a priest, and I step out in the spirit world now, Father. And Lord, I ask that you bring divine restoration, Father, to his body. And Lord, the organs that were damaged in his body, in the name of Jesus, I speak to them now and command every organ in his body to function in the perfection, Lord, that you created it. In Jesus' name, Lord, alleviate the pain. Take that pain away. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. We speak a creative miracle in that body. We thank you, Father God, for your healing power to be transferred even over the internet, even over the media and the technology. We thank you, Lord God, that you're omnipresent. Hallelujah. And you don't even need the God don't even need the transfer through anything. Hallelujah. Because he's right there with you. And we speak life, deliverance, healing to that body in Jesus' name. Everything that the enemy meant for bad through that accident, we declare it to be turned around for the glory of God. Your creative power and miracles in Jesus' name, in this saint's body, in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God, praise God. So we want to welcome everyone this morning. We just logged on seconds ago, and we already have miracles happening. What part of your body could you not move or was in dysfunction? I see you mentioned something about your organs and pain-free. Tell us where were you, where, what part of your body were you in dysfunction? Let's see what the response is. They just said, Ijima just said, amen. I believe it and I receive it by faith in Jesus Christ's name. So shall it be, and it cannot be otherwise. Absolutely. Amen. I love the way this person is in faith. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for everything. Man of God, may God reward you all. Amen. What part of your body were you suffering in? And I believe that we could get a testimony right here live on the air. Thank you, Father. Oh, Rabaka Shata. Let's see what part. Let's let them comment in and see what part of the body was in pain and what's going on.
Amen. Well, we look forward to a great day there, brother. And what does the Lord have been speaking to you? What's on your heart?
You know, what's on my heart, we've been having some correspondence, me and you, a little bit about we could say politically or socially. We've been talking a little bit about this pundit and that pundit and some news reports about this and news reports about that. And we speaking about these things mostly privately because we don't want to get on any soapbox that is untrue. We don't want to get in any soapbox that's untrue. And that's the thing, is the word of God is always true. It's eternally true. It was true yesterday. It's true today. It's true tomorrow. It was true when David walked walked this green earth. It was true when Martin Luther walked this, green earth. And it was true as we walk this green earth. The word of God doesn't change. It's infallible and it's eternal. However, there are things in this world that changed. Matter of fact, scripture says that everything in this carnal world is temporal and subject to change. But in general, there's certain laws that you could count on, laws of gravity and different things. And, the sun will come up every morning. The moon will go up every night. There's things that in the physical realm that are consistent. But when it comes to politics, you never know what's the truth. It's not like math. 1 + 1 = 1, and we wish it was. From the beginning of time, politicians, businessmen, anything in the realm of men, we could say that anything in the realm of men could be not as it appears. And that doesn't go just for politicians. That goes for preachers, right? That goes for doctors, lawyers, businessmen, television commercials, scientists, you know. So try and find some truth online or in the library. Try and find some truth about diet and nutrition. Nobody agrees with each other. Some people say we should eat only meat. Some people say we should eat 5 meals a day. Some people say you should only eat 3 meals a day. Some people say you should fast for 17 hours a day, that the humans were made to not eat for most of the hours a day, to go out and hunt and then gather their prey, kill it, and then eat, you know, just once a day. You know, you can't get scientists and nutritionists to agree on anything concerning health and diet and nutrition. Some people say you should, you know, do this. Some people say you should be vegan. Some people say we're not meant to eat meat. And all these people are just arguing. Some people said that we shouldn't have gluten and we're not meant to eat grains and carbs and we're only meant to eat fruits and vegetables and meats. And I've been studying on nutrition and health for, you know, 10 years, and I can't find a truth. But when I read the Word of God, it's nothing but truth. So when we're talking about in the realms not of the Bible, and we're ministers, and our broadcast really is about the Word of God and the Bible, and it will transition into daily life things and global things, because the Word of God does affect those things. But if we get on a soapbox about being carnivore or vote for this party or that party, you know, whether it's in Zimbabwe or whether it's in America, you can really get on a soapbox that is sinking sand, it's shifting sand, you know. So we have some conversations recently, me and Apostle, about this pundit and that pundit, and you know, we know some behind the scenes stuff. Apostle knows some behind the scenes stuff about one pundit, and I know some behind the scenes stuff about this particular political person that I know, so forth, and you know. And what is coming out on television, on YouTube, on CNN, ABC, even Fox News. I trusted Fox News for many years. I was a big supporter of Bush, found out that what I was supporting was wrong. I was really into Fox News until just recently, when Tucker Carlson got fired and he came out and said that Fox News is really a puppet of some controlling powers, and it's like controlled opposition to one party. We're given, you know, two different parties, Republican and Democrat, two heads of the same dragon, you know. And so we're finding out that you can't really get in a soapbox about political things or pundits and so on, because we really don't know who's paying them, what's behind them, what's motivating them. And so that's kind of,
this is why, you know, we're here. Not to take people down that lane. You know, that is designed to divide us. You're never going to agree because there's so much misinformation. And we have allowed our minors to become majors.
Yep.
Where we have allowed ourselves to get caught up. And I'm, for one, is, you know, totally removed from that since 1992, to be exact. And I find that I sleep better at night.
Amen.
I find that, you know, because one of the things, you know yourself, when you look at words, words are seeds.
Yes.
And you think on that stuff long enough, it's going to produce something.
Mm-hmm.
And so Smith Wilberforce had a policy, you know the whole story, when Lester Sumrall came to his house, and he wouldn't even allow lies in his house, the newspapers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that for America.
Yeah. Can you tell that story? Because a lot of people in our generation, they don't know Smith Wigglesworth. Could you share that story?
Well, I didn't know Smith, but, you know, I've been in Lester Sumrall meetings and I've heard him say things pertaining to this subject of, you know, his mentorship, you know, with Smith Wigglesworth. And you can also read those things, too. But I heard Lester Sumrall say that back in the 80s. And so where?
Yes. So let me tell the story for people. So what happened was Lester Sumrall was mentored by a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth was really a very had a phenomenal miracle ministry. I think it was 19 recorded people raised from the dead, and just a very powerful miracle ministry. He was based out of the UK in England. And let's just summarize, I was one day preaching at a campaign where Smith Wigglesworth was there. And as he was preaching, he was kind of intimidated because Smith was there behind him. But he was preaching and ministering and so forth. And Smith was sitting on the platform. And at the end, Smith Wigglesworth walked over to him, tapped him on the shoulder. And he said, "Young man, that was good. But God was finished about 15 minutes ago." I don't know if you recall that story. He said, "Young man, that was great, but God was done about 15 minutes ago, and you've gone about 15 minutes past the Holy Ghost." And so he was shook into his core because he was just a young whippersnapper, you know. Mm-hmm. And so Smith afterwards invited him to his house to spend some time with him. He was going to disciple him. So he didn't know what the meeting was about. He thought that Smith was going to really rip him a new one because Smith was a very gruff man. He was a plumber before he was preaching. He was a very big, burly, you know, rough man. So he was scared out of his wits for this meeting, but he had his hat on and his umbrella, and he had his newspaper tucked in his under his arm, under his left arm. And so he knocked on the door. And Smith Wigglesworth opens the door, and he sees that newspaper in his hand. And he said, "Lies! Lies!" He began to scream at him, "Lies! Get those lies out of my house! I don't let any of these lies in my house!" And he grabbed the paper, snatched it out of from under his arm, and threw it into the bush next to his front door. And that was his introduction to coming over to his house, you know. And the story goes on from there. He brought him in the home, and Smith told him he doesn't read anything but the Word of God. And that's interesting because people can't survive nowadays without watching the news.
Well, our nation needs healing. And healing is not going to come from, you know, basking in that realm. It is designed to do exactly what it has done. It has divided us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are citizens of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And as citizens of the kingdom, we have a responsibility to live like people from the kingdom. That's not mm-hmm. a choice. And people choose to, you know, allow that carnal syndrome, I call it the carnal Christian syndrome, to be how they move. Those are the realms they move in. Mm-hmm. I personally, you know, I don't get involved in that. I tell the people, everybody has a will. Mm-hmm. You can't make another person think like you. I can't make another person think like me. Mm-hmm. And so what we can agree on, and that is where we come into the Word of God, to help bring people liberation mm-hmm. so that they recognize they have been set free, you know, from those chains, you know, those, that false information, and you know what false information does.
Yeah.
It creates a chasm. And we've seen that in the body. I was just in a meeting where a lady sent a message by a pastor to me, a minister to me. And because I don't know really what I said, I should say. Mm-hmm. And she told the young man, "He must be a Democrat."
No. The lady said that in the meeting you were at?
Yeah, she had told another minister that. He must be a Democrat. And
what's that based upon? Based upon your color or based upon?
I don't know what it was upon. I didn't pay it no mind. But I thought it was, first it was funny, and then it was sad.
Yes.
Because there is these impressions that people receive. Now, let me explain something about people when they don't know what to do with the impressions that they get. Mm. See, there are four primary sources of wisdom, according to the book of James. There's the wisdom of the world. There's the wisdom of the flesh. There's the devil. And then there's the wisdom from above. Now, your recreated born-again spirit, my recreated born-again spirit, can only use the wisdom that comes from above. In other words, that's what our spirit seeks after. And because a lot of that other information will blind you. And when you understand those four primary sources of wisdom, you'll find how the enemy, as a book that I'm writing right now, and it's called Destructive Reasoning. It is information coming from the dark light. You know, the dark light is made reference to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When God asked Adam, who told you you were naked? In other words, Adam, what other wisdom sources were you listening to? Which mm-hmm. caused separation? And then we see Jesus, when he talked about, he said, you know, if that light in you be dark, how great is that darkness? So a lot of our wisdom sources bring that dark light, that wrong information. Mm. And now you got people who are seeking God for healing, seeking God for whatever, and their information source is skewed. It's wrong. So yeah. Now they believe in lies, and it comes down even to your personal life. How do you see yourself? Most people see themselves through a lens in Christendom. It's through what I call, and what is, I should say, sin consciousness. There is a real misinformation campaign. You know, the Lord Jesus declared you and I righteous. When he was on that cross and he said, Father, forgive them. I don't know if you remember June Davis. She wrote a wonderful book, and I don't think you can get it anymore, Scripture Keys. And she said something very powerful. She talked about the trilateral, you know, forgiveness. That's you receiving forgiveness from God, you forgiving yourself, and forgiving others.
Yeah.
That is an incredible, credible truth. And I say this because we have a responsibility as ministers of the gospel. When we talk about preach truth, it's not just taking the scripture that's true and preaching it, but it's also the information that we disseminate. And one of the things that I strive
to do,
you know, is the spirit of truth is where we must, that must be our essence. Mm. We can be wrong and be sincerely wrong, but what we can't do is take misinformation that is, or information that's not verified, that's not quantified, and then speak it into this world. Because then what we're doing is the same thing that, you know, you mentioned earlier about that news outlet or propaganda outlet, whatever you want to call it. But we, as preachers of the gospel, we speak life, and life does not come from dead matter.
Yeah.
Think about that, dead matter.
That's great.
Matter. They say matter doesn't matter, but in that case, it does.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that another day. Matter doesn't matter. I'd like to talk to you about that, Joey.
Yeah. That's powerful.
My friend Mark from Germany. Amen, Brother Mark, a wonderful man of God. Mark, get in touch with me. I'll hit you up once I get off. Amen.
Mark says, hello, Paul. Long time no see. Brazil with Randy was the last time. Oh, okay. So he went to Brazil with you and Randy Clark. Today.
And a wonderful man of God from Germany. He has a ministry. I've been following him online. And this is one brother that I believe, you know, in the time that I spent with him, and the fact that we stay connected all this time, wonderful person. I follow him. Like I said, I watched when his daughter got married and, you know, his boat. And, you know, Mark does all those good things. You know, those Germans, they having fun over there, eating better food than we do. But Mark is a great, great teacher. He does schools of ministry. I believe he just came back from Pakistan, or he's on his way to Pakistan. And so we got to get Mark. Well, Mark, we got to get you on here with us.
Amen.
Hey, what God is doing over in his neck of the woods.
Praise God. He said, I will, bro. So, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. And let me ask you a question. I'm guilty of watching the news. I try and follow what's going on and so forth. And I'm guilty of watching the news. But let me ask you a question. I have heard several men of God. Matter of fact, not even men of God. I've even heard some CEOs on there's a podcast called The Diary of a CEO. And I've heard some multimillionaire CEOs come on that show. And they said, I don't get distracted with the news. I don't watch the news at all. I don't read newspapers. I don't watch the news. And these guys are running multi-million dollar companies. I know it sounds impossible, but is it possible? And I know it's a redundant question, but is it possible to live your life in this world and not watch the news, not follow the news?
Well, you know, I'm not going to go into that extreme and say that people shouldn't watch the news. But, you know, we have to guard our heart with all diligence, you know, and what I believe that refers to in this case, there is information sources. And the best you can do if you investigate is to, you know, at least know something about the hosts that are on that show. And I could tell you, I know great people who are truth tellers. But I also know that they're working in an industry where they're skewed, meaning they can even take a truth. See, you could take a truth and use it for the wrong purpose. It does the same thing as a lie. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. The Bible said that Jesus was filled with what? Notice it didn't say truth and grace. It said grace and truth.
Yeah, grace first. Truth. Yeah.
Grace first, because something can be true and you can use it to hurt somebody. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so that's why he's full of grace and truth.
That's powerful.
It's very important.
Yeah, because there's a lot of truth Jesus could have went around saying, because he had the skinny on a lot of folks, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't just go around stating every truth there was on this politician, on this king, on this emperor, you know, on this duke and this lord. You know, even though he had the truth on him all, he stayed on a central message, which was the message he was called to preach was the kingdom.
Right. Well, you know, as best we can, let's shift gears if we can go into the supernatural. Reason why I want to do that. Bless you, Mark. Yes, 2 weeks. Yeah, he was in India and Pakistan.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But we, one of the things, you know, we just came out of a conference in Michigan. And I don't know if we really know the full effect that that had on so many people.
Yeah.
People watching and also the people that were there. You were there. You yep. know what happened in that place was nothing but phenomenal. There was authentic miracles and healings. There was no hype.
Mm-hmm.
There was no promoting of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is what happened. And I like to tell people, like Dad Hagen used to always tell us, just act like the New Testament is so. You know, so many people use miracles, and I watched for this, and I'm sorry if this might offend some people. If
you gotta speak the truth,
is only about miracles, that tells me something. Lacking in certain things. I believe in miracles. You know, I've been preaching the gospel around the world for 37 years.
Yep.
I can talk all day about how many have been raised from the dead in my ministry. I can talk about all of the deaf mutes. I'm talking about in the thousands, the blind eyes in the hundreds. I can tell you missing body parts. I can go all through the whole gamut of anomalies that people had in their bodies. And there is a time where we teach, when we in our teaching, that we use these illustrations, not to be faith illustrations, but to build faith.
Yeah.
You know, and to run in parallel with the seven spirits of God, if you understand, you know, what God's intent is when he does a miracle. There's a reason. If you go look at all of the categories of miracles that were done in the Bible and do the background check on it, you'll see why they recorded those miracles in scripture, because it was more than just the healing. It was also with a message that Jesus was also sending in that, in teaching moments, and encouraging others who may be walking and have illnesses. But to use a healing to promote your ministry is to promote you, not to Jesus Christ. And we have to be careful.
Yeah.
People can sense your spirit. You may not realize it. And I understand when people start out, they're excited about God using them. I understand that. But after a while, when you start maturing, and that's the point I want you to make sure when I say this, when I talk about what I sense is, I sense a immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Yeah.
And now we don't minimize miracles. We don't minimize healing, but we promote Jesus Christ. We promote the word.
Mm-hmm.
And then let the miracles happen. And then we testify about the miracles. I think we owe it to the people, because we have so many skeptics. And the reason why we have skeptics, because you got the charlatans out there. You know yourself, Joe, you ran into it just like I did.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't glory in promotion of another ministry. We glory in Jesus. Let me give you an example that something happened to me, Joey. I told you I was in Togo, Lomé, Togo.
Yes.
My driver that drove us to the meeting and back and forth to the hotel and wherever we needed to go, he is now in the office of the president in Togo. I just got back from there not too long ago. Had some time with him. Our crowd was over 200,000 plus people. As far as in when we were, we couldn't see past, the crowd. It was that large. And there were great miracles that took place. But I'm standing on this platform, and I think I told you in private, I said, you know, the funny thing that came to my mind when I was standing there, because some people have asked me, they say, what was you thinking when you were standing there? What was going through your mind? Let me tell you what was going through my mind. Two things. The first thing that went through my mind was I could not believe that this was me. In other words, I was saying,
yeah, I remember that. He
said, if my friends can see me now, Paul, Cheryl out there preaching to the masses like this. And then the other thought I had was, what shame that a lot of the preachers from the West, not saying they're the only ones that do that, they take these pictures of these campaigns.
Yeah.
Bring it to America and they use it to promote it to get money.
And that's what they do. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something else. Let's go there. And these same people will come in America. They'll go to Africa. Okay. And they'll come back, because we all know what God does in Africa, probably more than anywhere else in the globe that I know. And they'll use those miracles. They'll use those crowds to pull on the heart cords of people. And then the very people that they exploiting, they don't even like.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they want to come to this country, they say, keep them out.
Yeah.
So if you notice, anybody that's a missionary, you're traveling a missionary, you may have seen it. How many missionaries do you know that wanted to come to America and then they find out that they're not allowed here?
Yeah.
So now when that missionary goes back to that country and they'd be like, you know, your country wouldn't even allow me to come. Now, yeah. You know the deal. You've done it. You've been in China. You've been in different parts of the world. And if you can pick up from that, help people to understand.
Yeah, well, since you brought it up, that's one of my soapboxes, actually. Mm-hmm. And I was just speaking with Pastor Reed, actually, yesterday. It really gets under my skin. I can't stand it, you know. It is... And since you said let's go there, it is something that people do like a business. And I've heard the conversations, hey, you know, get about 30, 40 grand, go to Africa, you know, they'll put up a stage for you, you'll rent the speakers, you know, the people will all come and they'll come out, you know, because you're a foreigner, they're all going to come. You'll get 30,000, 40,000. You'll get the amount of number based upon how much you spend. So if you put down 80 grand, you could get, you know, 300,000. You put down 150 grand, you could get, you know, 500,000, so on. You, if you drop 30 grand, you could probably get about, you know, 4,000 or 5,000, you know, 10,000, 15,000. Yeah. So you know the numbers more than me. And then you're green. You have no experience in ministry. You don't know anything about ministry. And but you just do this. You go. You haven't been to Bible school or nothing. You know, no training. Just you, and you're in it for the wrong reason. So you just go. You throw on this crusade. Everyone will come. You don't have to have any anointing or nothing. Everyone will come because you're a foreigner, and there's nothing else going on there. You know, so they're coming to see this foreigner, and they're hoping that you must be something special, and maybe they can get a miracle because they're in need over there. So you go. They take these pictures. You know, with these special cameras. Matter of fact, I've been to one crusade. I'm not going to just name names, but I went to one crusade where the pastor had everyone hold hands. And then he said, okay, now at the count of three, the Holy Spirit's going to touch everybody. And then some people fell down, and that they fell on top of other people, and they made some other people fall down. So you had about like 300-400 people fell down. And he said, no, not yet. I got to get this on camera. He said, everyone stand back up and hold your hands. And then he got his camera guy that he brought with him when he travels that had, you know, all these cameras with these called wide angle views to make it look like it's a bigger crowd. So they got these wide angle cameras, and he said, okay, now I want everyone to just go crazy right now. So everyone's going to go, ah! He said, no, more crazy. And he's like, all right. He told the camera guy, now film it. And everyone's waving and screaming. And he's taking clips so he could put this on social media, on TV, so he could look like, oh, look at this crusade. The people are on fire. Look how excited they are. But he told him to do that. And then he said, okay, now everybody at the count of three, fall down. He said, one, two, three. And then everyone fell down, and my wife was there. My wife's Chinese. My wife, she's a communist, from a communist country, former Buddhist. She was Buddhist. She doesn't like any of these American fake stuff, you know. So she was sitting in the background. She's like, what did we come to this crusade for? I was like, you know, our friend invited this guest speaker, so that's why we're here. I thought it was going to be a powerful miracle service, and it's a show, you know. So then everyone fell down, and I said, I can't believe he just set this up for the camera. So then they take these clips and they put them on social media, and then people in America watch it and think, wow, oh, have you heard of this minister? Have you heard of that minister? And I know the background that it's smoke and mirrors, you know, but they do this. And let me just say one more thing. I've seen people go to Pakistan. I'm not going to name names, but I've seen major famous ministers go to Pakistan. And I knew the people that went to Pakistan with. I knew the people who invited them because they invited me. I was in talks with them. And so they had a crusade with 1 million people. Several people have done this because this guy does – this is what he does for a living. These guys in – a lot of these people are foreigners. They do for a living. They invite guest ministers. And they'll charge you 80 grand, 40 grand, 15 grand. They'll pocket 5,000 or 8,000, and the rest of the money they'll use for the crusade or whatever. And it's a business for a lot of these guys, for not all of them, but for most of them. So they go to Pakistan. Several of them have done this with the same people, had 1 million people in Pakistan crusades. And then they say on television, on TBN, on Daystar, on social media, they say 1 million Muslims born again, 1 million Muslims saved. And on the video clips and on the camera and on the pictures, they're all wearing the hijabs. So people think it's 1 million Muslims got saved by the ministry. What they don't know is the truth, which is all those people are Catholics. They're not Muslim. And those are the same people that attended the crusade the week before and the week before and the week before. And so they're all Christians who are born again. They come out to these events because they're fun, they're social, and they rent buses and they give you a meal to bring you out. So they come to these events and... Yeah. And it's advertised as I led Muslims to Christ.
Well, and so really, this is why I like Brother Cirillo. Here's what we did, and I took a team there, and I won't go into everything.
And I want you to share. Let me just finish this. Mm-hmm. It gets me upset because I was in these countries really ministering to people who were Muslim, who were Buddhist, who were communist, death threats, arrested, put in jail. I went through that, really reaching the unreached, and then people claim that falsely just for a photo op. That's why it gets under my skin. What did Brother Cirillo do?
Well, with Brother Cirillo, one of the things that we never did, and this is why when I see these young cats growing up today, getting caught up into that, because you spoke of Pakistan. I have been invited to Pakistan so many times, and I know the game. I won't do it. But one of the things that Brother Cirillo never did, and when you work with Dr. Cirillo, you had to do things his way. And why we did things this way was to prevent this. Because let me give you, let's start to finish. You go to different parts of the world like I do. And one of the things that a lot of these guys do is when you're coming, they got your picture up in their office around. Uh-huh. You know, there, right? And you come and they pump it high, you know, highlighting you and everything like that. You know, the whole thing that goes on with that. And so, but when you leave, they take that picture down and put another one up. And like you said, they'll charge you so much money for these crusades.
Yes.
And they'll turn around and take money from the top. So what I do is what Brother Swillow does. We don't give them anything.
Oh, interesting. See,
I have friends all over the continent of Africa. And this last situation, why we held up our crusade in Ghana and in Togo, because we had someone in Ghana that wanted to do that to us. And he knew me, and I couldn't believe that he would even try that.
Mm.
So what I did is I postponed everything, chilled it out. I got friends in different parts of Africa who know people in these countries. And what they'll do is they'll go investigate for me.
Mm.
And who is this person? And this person I happened to have met 20 plus years ago, but he got corrupted along the way. And while we were there the last time, you know, we were going in different regions and preaching. He wanted us to see his house that he was building. And he took us to his house. And I lay, and so my team that was traveling with me, I didn't tell them anything. I didn't want to spoil their time going because it was their first time going to Africa. And when I looked at the house, I said, okay, I know what he's doing. He built that by using that strategy that you're talking about.
Ah, yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? And so now here's what happens. Now, when I usually go to his brother, Brother Cirillo's, you know, strategies, we bring together a steering committee. So we bring the pastors together. And here's the downfall in a lot of what they do. This is what's been happening. So you got 10 people on the committee. This one pastor who is doing this, who's supposed to be the point man, now you got a whole coalition together. Now, I come back to America, and I go to my partners, and I raise the funds to go carry out this campaign. They're infighting over there. So now you're renting out a stadium. You got
They're infighting over the prey.
Well, what they see is they see the head of the committee, they see him building a new house.
Yes. Yeah.
So now you need the whole coalition. You know, you need the steering committee to make things work. And then they quit on you. So here you on your plane heading back to Africa or wherever you're going, and you don't find out until you hit the ground that everything fell apart.
Wow.
That's the danger in this. And it never happened to us because we shut it down. If we sense that, we caution, we err on the side of caution.
Yeah.
Because can you imagine your partners investing in you to go and you get there and the whole venue shut down because they've been fighting each other?
Wow.
And your name becomes mud. So now I know this was kind of deep for some of the people that might be listening, but for those who are aspiring to go to the nations of the world, know how to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because one thing we do, when we go to these events, we know these people, they have their issues with finances. So we go with the intent, knowing that they're going to siphon.
Yeah.
But we know the range of prices. And what we try to do to offset that is we let them know this is how much is going to be in the budget to take care of you guys.
Yeah.
But the set man or the person that's heading the committee, he wants to control the money. And I say, no, you're not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is all this that we're talking about? This.
Well, you know, and let me just say, Apostle, we have a, like, since the day we started this broadcast, most of the viewers have been pastors and ministers. So this is good training and mentorship from you know, a veteran overseas. You know, I have just, you know, a couple years experience, you know, I did a full decade there, but this is what they need to learn and know about. Otherwise they'll get their pants handed to them too. They go with the right intention. Not like some of the people that I mentioned, they'll go with the right intention, but then they'll get their pants handed to them because they don't know what's happening on the ground.
You know what Brother Sula told us to do? Inspect what you expect.
Yeah.
You see, Morris
had a playbook. Inspect what you expect.
Morris Sula had a playbook, and we learned that playbook. And Morris gave us strict orders. Several things we don't do. You give nobody your telephone number. You give nobody but the head man your email address, because once you do, then they're clamoring on you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think you're a superstar, and you get caught up into that because you want to go to, you know how many people want to go to the nation to preach just to make a name for themselves?
Exactly.
Come back and put it on Facebook, come back and put it on YouTube to promote themselves, have no character.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's amazing how this is. And so what I try to do is help these young guys growing up. Listen, I know you're excited about God using you. But let me tell you, you have to be very careful. Because if you step into a role, like you got people calling themselves apostles and prophets. And everybody wants, it's amazing how everybody wants to be an apostle or prophet. But what they don't understand, they don't have the grace to stand in that office.
Yeah.
And when they say new level, new devil, that's the truth. It is so important to, first of all, grow where you are planted. Have accountability. You know this, Joey.
Yeah.
Who's your pastor? Do you have anybody that can correct you? If you don't have that person in your life, and don't give me a whole lot of names of people that you try to hobnob with and say you're accountable. That's not accountability.
That's fake. Well, just like that, there's one famous minister. I'm not going to say his name, you know, but there was a famous minister that had a famous fall. It was all over TV, news, Charisma, CNN. And he, before he fell, on his website, he had a board. He had like 20 people, Randy Clark and Bill Johnson. And he had like 20 of these famous ministers on his website as his board of accountability. But when he fell, he didn't listen to none of them. So all the accountability was just for the website. He wasn't about to be accountable to nobody, you know?
Yeah, but you know, this is what I like about us. You know, of course, I've known you for some time. You know of me. You know the circles I run in. I know the circles you run in.
Yeah.
See, you
and we only stick with the real.
Right. You're accountable. Just as you know I am. You know, we don't have to talk about what we talk about in private, but you know how we are.
Yeah.
You know, we hold each other, you know, in high regard first. But, you know, believe me, and I don't know if you know, I won't call names, but I will check my brothers. And they will check me.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we need to do that. This is so important. You know, for instance, you know, I'm very good friends with Dr. Randy Clark. Not using his name just to throw it out there. Randy is a wonderful man. He's a father.
Absolutely.
He's one of the most integrated men I've ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Randy is a lover of people. He doesn't see a person on a scale of 1 to 10. He sees us as one, as brothers.
Yeah.
And the one thing I love about him is that as a father, when I need advice, I would ask him.
Wow. You know,
whatever. And so, but we all have to be accountable to one another.
Yes.
We have Tony in our, I call Tony Dad, you know?
Yeah, Dad.
and Tony, you know, speaks into my life. You know, he's known me for a long, I've known him years. I've known him many, many years. But we and you and I are forging a relationship and we have so much fun together.
Yeah, sure do.
And the respect, the love is real. It's not you see? And this is what has to happen to these young cats coming up, Joey. That's why your generation, as you're raising up the next generation, you know, I pray that as you impart that to them, you know, you understand the value of that.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And what your friend there from Germany said, what you guys are saying is priceless to people starting out in ministry. And Yancey commented, thank you, generals, for sharing this. I feel like my ministry is just started, but been leading intercession for years. Well, intercession, you know, I heard a Pastor Reed preach a message about intercession. And yesterday you commented on it. It was great. And people could go back and watch yesterday's broadcast. But if you Pastor Reed said that if you intercession is the first ministry, he said before you become a pastor, an apostle, a prophet, before you become any type of fivefold minister, he said you have to first be intercessor. You have to be a person of prayer, a person who prays and intercedes and prays for the nations, prays for your city, prays for people. He said that's your first ministry. And that ministry is given to everyone, the ministry of being a intercessor or a prayer. Some people say, I have the ministry of intercession. Well, you know, that ministry, all of us have. Every priest is an intercessor. You know, we stand before God on behalf of the people as a believer, you know, the priest of the believer. So we all should have a ministry of intercession. And especially if you want to be in the fivefold ministry, if you don't have a prayer life, you're disqualified for the fivefold ministry because first you have to be a person of prayer. So I think Yancey is on the right path by saying she is starting off an intercession for years. I think that's a good path.
You know, Joey, as you know, we're preparing to launch the ACTS School of the Supernatural. It's what I have done overseas that I've also done some years ago. I think I told you in 2001, 2002, I did 6 months. I used to go to Chicago every weekend and many churches came out of that school. But now I'm going to be more deliberate in particularly because of the way the things are happening in the body right now. And I've networked with many great men and women of God. And the one thing that we're preparing to do is to go back to that mold again, because that's how leaders are really built. A lot of times they're not fully equipped in our local churches, which they should be.
Yeah.
But what our schools of ministry are going to do, and I know I know you're going to be a part of that team with me and all the ones that we know, and we're going to go to every state in the union and network with ministries and really help them help themselves. And here's what I'm talking about, Joey. A lot of pastors don't have people they can trust. You know that all about ministry.
Yeah.
I'm praying as we build our coalition that we become friends, partners with pastors, not just go to use them to do a school or a meeting.
Yeah.
But invest in them.
Amen.
And the investment will be the expertise and everything, but help them become or do what they do better. I call it an apostolic power base.
Yeah, because people need fathers. Nowadays, when you reach out to one of the major ministries for mentorship as a young pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, whatever, all you get is you're lucky to get their signature. So you might get, you might be, you're lucky if you get their signature. You, if you're even more lucky, you might get their cassette series, their CD series. They'll give you their CD series and say, go on your way. You know, you got my Siren series and I signed the book. Go on your way, young man. But you're definitely going to get their offering appeal envelope in the mail every month. And unfortunately, we need more than that, you know. And I'm speaking from firsthand experience. When I went out into the nations, and I went out by myself. I graduated Bible college in 2005, and I was invited to go overseas to minister. I went overseas and never came back, pretty much. That was it. I went overseas and I spent the next, 15, 16, 17 years overseas. Next 20 years, less than 20 years overseas, you know. But I had to learn the hard way because the church, the ministries that I was in, mega ministries, but they don't pass down and mentor the next generation. They just want you to listen to their books, read their books, listen to the cassettes. That is your mentorship. That's your discipleship. So needless to say, I went to these countries and I was ripped off. I was going to countries spending tens of thousands of dollars on crusades to find out the hard way why those guys were driving Land Rovers. I was driving a little, it was called the Chevy Sail. It's like one of those cars the clowns drive in the circus, you know, and they're so small, but like 15 people pile out of them. I was driving a car like that, as big as I am. I squeezed in this little car, have my whole family packed in there, pick up the church, drive people, and I get to these nations, and I would give tens of thousands of dollars for crusades, and the pastors there in the developing world will pull up in Land Rovers, you know. And I realized the hard way because I had no mentorship. I had no fathers. I had no one to spend time with me and teach me. I realized the hard way I was lining their pockets with the tithes and offerings that I was raising in my church. So I had to find other pastors to work with and so on. But people need mentorship. They need Pauls. They need Joeys. They need, Tonys. They need mentorship. Young ministers need mentorship because what they're doing is they're copying what they see on Facebook. And unfortunately, usually it's a very unhealthy model they're copying.
But what we're doing right now, we're giving people what I call the lowlights. You notice most people, when they're given a testimony, they give you the highlights. I call those highlights faith illustrations. Let me tell you what a faith illustration is. Somebody will get up in the church and they'll testify, God blessed me with a house. God blessed me with a Mercedes Benz. Now, this person, living in a one-bedroom apartment, got a car payment, $1,200 a month.
Hey, Paul, you're preaching my wife's sermon now. Please continue.
They're struggling to pay, and then in 11, 12 months, it gets repossessed.
I'm so glad you're telling the truth.
So I use that analogy because that same thing is happening in ministry. People come and talk about the highlights, but they don't know about the lowlights. But when they go, they see, this is going to be, watch this, my breakthrough moment. No, your breakthrough came in your intercession.
Yes.
Your breakthrough didn't come because you got an invitation.
Yes.
Now, a lot of things that That's people good. Know about God, God will allow you, because God is helping us. The Spirit comes to help us. He's our paraclete.
Yeah.
He comes alongside us to help us. But his role is to lead us and guide us in the truth. But see, what happens if we're not careful, we will talk about the highlights. And, I share this with ministers all the time.
Not reality often, yeah.
I say, what are your lowlights? Because, see, if everything's highlights, then I'm watching you.
That's good. That's like in Australia. Mm-hmm. If you go to Australia and you say, hey, I open up a church, we start off with 50 people, and by the time we were done, we got down to 12. In Australia, they're like, yeah, they cheer it, they clap, But in America, they look at you like, man, what kind of testimony is that? But Australians, they like the raw truth, And so that's exactly what I'm talking about, the low lights. My wife said it for years. She says it all the time. She hates a lot of the stuff she sees in America because she's like, a lot of it's just not true. You see people come in these services, give testimonies, but you don't know the story behind the testimony, you know, like you said about the car note. And I've seen pastors get up and say, God blessed me with this building and God gave me this building. And then you talk to them afterwards. You say, well, actually, I don't really own it. I'm renting it, but they're giving us this. And then 6 months later, they're evicted out of the building. And that low light's not on television. It's not spoken over the microphone in the service, but you don't hear that story. So what happens is there's false expectations often by young ministers. And when they don't buy a $2 million building with no money down, when they don't, you know, drive a Mercedes Benz with no money down, they feel like something's wrong with them.
You know, Joey, I'm going to send you something. I want you to post this, okay? I'm going to send this to your text message. This is a book that every person that's listening, especially if you're a minister, you need to get this book right here. And the title of the book is called Limping with God.
Limping with God.
I guarantee you, you that purchased this book, you'll thank me. It's by Chad, C-H-A-D, Bird. Limping with God. I ask every minister and everyone who's being prepared for minister and any kind of leadership in ministry, read that book. That book will help you. That book will help you to see how God moves. And one thing he says in that book that blows my mind, God doesn't do what you want him to do. You do what he wants you to do. It's the other way around. You don't order him around.
Yeah.
But I think every person, I think this should be in every Bible study. I think it should be any party that's looking to go into ministry. Read that book first. It'll save you a lot of headaches.
Wow.
Now, Chad, I don't know Chad Bird, but I'm going to tell you, he's a great theologian, wonderful man. But that book is incredible. It's a theological book, but the way it's written, Joey, you know, once you read it, you'll see what I mean by that. You'll say, yes, every person needs to read that book.
It's humbling.
And I say to people that read it, don't try to read it fast. Read one chapter a day.
Okay.
Let it sink in. Take notes. Because it will save you a lot of headaches.
I'm going to try and put the cover of it on the screen so people can see what it looks like, but it's Limping with God.
Yes.
And I took a picture of it here. There it is. Okay. Yes. I'm going to post it on the screen if I can.
Yeah.
And there it is. Limping with God.
Yes.
Chad Bird. Is that the one?
That's it.
Yeah, living with God.
It's going to bless you. You will thank me for mentioning this. And praise you, Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, a book that I liked, an old one, it's a famous one that I liked, which I think grounds people, is Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption.
Right.
By Frederick Casey Price.
Yes.
Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. And I was recently talking to a pastor in Detroit that's buying a new building, and his pastor was Fred Price. And he told me that Fred Price told him, grow slow. Don't try and get into a building that's too big for you too fast. And he shared the testimony with this pastor here in Detroit, Pastor Jerome Talley. And he told him, he said, when he bought and built that Faith Dome in Los Angeles in Crenshaw Boulevard, he said the very Sunday that they opened that dome, 1,000 people left the church. Opening Sunday. Because they felt like, I'm not led. This is not God's will. Holy Spirit didn't bring us here. This is ambition of man. All these things, whatever they are. 1,000 people didn't go with him. Now, he was counting on those people to help with, you know, the project budget and all these things, right? And he realized that day, you know, that you can't count on people. You got to count on the Lord, you know. And he encouraged this young pastor. And I said, man, I wish I had that mentorship. I wish somebody would have told me, hey, don't get into that building project. Don't grow too fast. Don't try and bite too much, you know, because that could have saved me a lot of stress and heartache in my life and my ministry. But I love that book by Fred Price about faith, foolishness, and presumption, because a lot of times what we think is faith actually is foolishness.
But you know something? I have a saying, Joey. B-I-G doesn't spell G-O-D. I know great men. I speak in some of the largest churches in America. And I preach in the church in Jacksonville without calling names. And I watched this pastor. The stress that he was under to keep that church filled. Powerful, powerful man of God. And what happened was he couldn't go anywhere. He was going to go to Malaysia with me when I was going to go to Malaysia. So he called me. He said, you think I can get back by next Sunday? I said, sir, it takes almost 2 days to get there. Wow. And then you're going to take 2 days to get back. I think you should stay home because, you know, the pressure to keep the people coming. Now, there's nothing wrong with Lost Church. That's not what I'm saying. Yeah. And I don't say that to speak in those terms. But I say that you spoke of Dr. Fred Price. There's some things I know personally that was said by him. And I'll just leave it there. But one of the things he did say then toward the end that he wished he never built that. That's what came out of his mouth.
Wow.
You know, you see it going on all over the country right now. You know, you and I were talking yesterday, what's happening. You schooled me on some things. Because of the way the body of Christ is now, the way the church is in America now, these large churches have shrunk.
Mm.
You see, and they built those ministries that should and paid, you know, lots of money to get those things built. And now they're not receiving the overhead that they once received, you know, to take and handle all of these things. It's amazing to see what's happening. Churches are emptying out all across America. And God forbid if we have another pandemic, like which is being touted. I don't know if that's true or not. So don't nobody take this away and say that's going to happen. But we've been hearing that. You've been hearing that. Others are hearing that. But we can't. And see, Joe, I wish we had more time. We are getting ready to go, but I hope next week we can do a show on what we talked about in private.
Yeah.
You know, to really, because that's one of the things we want to do here.
Yeah.
Bless you, Mary. We want to do, Mary from Canada is on. How's your eye, Sister Mary, Pastor Mary? Amen. Believe in God for you. But I'm asking the Lord about that. You know, what we talked about, maybe we could talk about how far we will go into it. But it is so important to know the condition of the churches in our nation. We know what's happening in Canada. And I am just really concerned, Joey, about the pathway that the church is on right now. My heart bleeds.
Yeah.
You got to remember, Joey, I came up in 1970s when it all started for me. I've been in church for years. I had a 9-year excursion. From 78 to 87. But my thing is I've been in church practically all my life. I've been in ministry for 36 years now, 37 years going on. And I'm hurt over what I see. I never thought I would see the body of Christ in the condition that it is today.
No.
But I also know how we got here. We got here based on the things that you and I talked about, the hype.
Yep, that's how we got here.
Keeping people on the edge of expectation and nothing ever happening. Do you know how that is to get hyped every Sunday?
Mm-hmm. You get burned out.
You get burned out.
It's like drinking a Red Bull, you know, for energy. It only lasts for a certain time.
And you cannot manipulate the anointing. It boggles my mind to see people think that God can't see through this foolishness. And you know something? The people feel it, but they override it Because I'm gonna close up on this, Joey. I want the people of God to understand that there's a term that I use. I call it insulting the integrity of the experience. What is insulting?
Oh, I love that. You said that when you were preaching last week, and I wrote that down. That is very powerful. Now, please expound on that. I know we don't have a lot of time, but please expound on that.
Well, what happens is, you know, let's use the early church. Jesus told them to go tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. When they went into that upper room, they didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus told them to go wait for the promise, and they'd be clothed with power. And you saw what happened. But you can't duplicate a sovereignty. And so what happens a lot of times, people believe they can tell whether a church has the anointing because they have certain things that they see that identify with their, what I call their sensory or their pleasure spot. You follow what I'm saying? And if it looks like what they read in the book or told what the revival was, they say, okay, that's a revival.
Yeah.
Or they go someplace and try to get, I call it, try to reproduce something that happened maybe in a crusade or in a school of ministry that they went to. See, what I tell people to do is jump in the river. Rodney sung that song, Walk on the Water, remember?
Yeah.
Jump in that river. But people come with their buckets and they take water out of that river and try to go get it to work in their congregation. See, you don't know how God is going to do a thing.
Yeah.
You see, when we say, well, this is a move of God and this is not a move of God, and I'll hang my hat on this. A true move of God is when there's a mind change. If there's no mind change, there's no move of God.
Wow. That's powerful.
A lot of people just go through the motions and they stumble on and they jerk and jiggle and shout. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that don't mean that's the anointing. That does not mean that this is a revival. Now, I'm not trying to throw cold water on those things, but we have to be very careful. And then we started and got here by saying what we said earlier. How did the church get in this state? We dumbed them down instead of imparting to them, getting them off and weaning them off of milk and bringing them on meat. Right now, if you don't preach milk, you won't have a church today with this generation that's coming up.
That's true.
We teach on the tabernacle. We teach on the priesthood. And if I teach on that, the church is empty out. They don't know anything about that. They go to those churches where they Mary had a little lamb and Daniel.
You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's your season.
Yeah. And they're not being taught anything.
Yeah.
Man, we can keep on going, but I know we can waste our time.
Yeah. Penny Man says a lot of it is soulish. Yeah. And I don't have a problem with ministering to the soul. There is a place for that, but it can't replace the ministry to the spirit, you know. And the reason why you want to have good music in church, because music ministers to the soul. Once the soul is open, the spirit is more willing to yield. The people's human spirit and heart's more willing to open up. So we're not downing a good worship, good music. We're not downing, getting excited, shouting, running, jumping, you know, we're not downing that, but we're saying that's not a move of God. A move of God is when there's a change in the mind and in the heart of the people of God that shifts them in the direction towards God's will and plan.
Case in point, remember all the shifting that was supposed to take place in the body of Christ? Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, everybody was prophesying shift. You remember, right?
Yeah, everyone was shifting.
but when the shift came, they didn't know what it was. You know, I looked at that. I'm like, come on, man.
And not the shift they were hoping for.
It wasn't the shift. And that's when the pandemic came. And they didn't realize what God was doing. He was hitting reset.
Yeah.
And like I'll say like this, God never wastes a good crisis.
Amen.
So he used this COVID to, like, people, everybody's worrying about their churches emptying out. Well, you know something? Let's look at the Old Testament to get a model.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God has to pass over a generation because he can't get them to do anything.
Wow. Woo!
A lot of people don't know this.
Wow.
A lot of people don't know this. See, what we don't realize, like, people, they're not listening. We've been laboring. We've been in the vineyard. We've been faithful. And they've not walked in the truth that we taught them.
My God.
Well, you know, go with, what does God say concerning the tree that don't bear fruit? Remember in the book of Luke?
Yeah.
He said, cut the tree down.
Yeah.
You see? And I think what's happening is that generation that came after the charismatic renewal did not produce.
And Papa Hagin said that to him. He said, and they would say, amen. And they would clap and say, amen. But they weren't doing it. He said, 90% of what the Lord Jesus Christ has appeared to me in the flesh and has shared with me, I've never been able to teach it because you have still not done the 10% that I've taught you.
And look what it has done. So now what God is doing, if people can see what God is doing, he's raising up a new generation of people.
Mm. Wow. Just like in the wilderness, he had to let Joshua's generation pass off.
Die off.
And here was Joshua and Caleb, just like Paul, Cheryl, Mary, Joey, just like a lot of us now, on fire, full of God from the old guard. I'm the last baby boomer to come in. I'm a 79. I barely made it into that category. But a lot of us now are either not going to church or pastoring small churches or whatever. We're the Joshua and Caleb looking around saying, hey, what happened? My generation has passed off. Now we're the old guard, but it's now time for the old guard to bring in the move of God for the next generation. God has passed over a generation in the wilderness, and that's what we've been experiencing here in the West.
That's why it's so cold here. You know, you just came back from China not too long ago. Your heart broke.
I was broken. My heart was broken for almost probably 2 years since I came back.
And, you know, how you think I feel when I sit here and I look at when I started in 1970 and see how the church peaked in the 90s and then watch it dwindle because of the things that you and I were talking about, to see what has happened, how that we don't realize, you know, what has happened. You know, I came out of the Voice of Healing. See, that was my mentoring. You see, so I saw the charismatic renewal come in. And, you know, I was, as you know, born again under the ministry of A.A. Allen. And, you know, I came up through that pathway, you know, Apostle Skinner. And then Dave Robeson tutored me and trained me and prepared me for ministry. And then I went to work for Dr. Cirillo.
Yeah.
And when I worked for Dr. Cirillo, I understood my season of training. And then after all that, you know, Mars has taught me, you know, then I went and I began to do crusades around the world and in different nations on my own. And so, but now when I look back at the generation that's coming up, my heart hurts me so bad to see what has happened to the church.
Yeah.
How we hate each other. Mm-hmm. We hate each other.
Yeah.
You know, we don't help our brothers and our sisters when they fall. We don't lift them up when they need a helping hand. It is vital that we, when our brothers and sisters are in trouble, be there for them. Don't leave them out there to flounder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pull them in. Get them healed.
Yeah.
You see, I watched my father in the gospel do that. When great men who had situations that they went through, falls that they went through, and watch how Brother Cirillo took them in and loved on them and got them back to health.
My God.
Never said a word about it.
Wow.
Today we hear something, we don't even know if it's true, and we're spreading it all over the place, destroying people.
Oh, yeah. Because you got to get those views on YouTube.
It's incredible what's going on. But even before that, we also have the situation where, Joey, we have a generation today that's a generation that I believe that because of technology, and I believe that when you look at where the church is in America, I think this is one of the best things that could have happened. We have a clean slate. Now is what we put in them.
Yes.
That's why these ACT schools of the supernatural that we're going to be doing all over this country.
Yes.
Is going to aid in helping these young ones coming up to get off milk, mm-hmm. to get meat. And see, we have the technology now that we can do this.
Amen. Yep. And what you said, the most important piece, is not just to build our ministry off of other people. No. I'm not going to say any names, but I know there was one great, well-known pastor that came to Dallas, and he said to all of all the young preachers in the area, the region, all over Texas, come here. I'm going to impart my anointing to you. And so I knew pastors that drove from Oklahoma, from Tulsa, from Houston. They all packed in. All these pastors came to Dallas to get an impartation. And the pastor came. He preached a fiery message and took up an offering. The whole message, you know, culminated in an offering. Took up the offering, lifted the offering, as you say, and walked out.
Took the offering. They take it.
And walked out. He didn't pray or lay hands on one person. And they had people that took off work, drove out of state to come and get an impartation, and he didn't pray for not one of them.
And let's look at the...
lifted the offering.
Now, as bad as that is, let's talk about what goes on in negotiations before the preacher got there. That was something they discussed. That preacher didn't just walk off that stage. It was agreed upon by the person that invited them.
Yeah.
See, that's why I try to be careful in what I say, because I don't want to, you know, see people be discouraged. But there's a lot of bartering that goes on in the background.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And so it's always about money.
Mm-hmm.
They fight over money. That's why you and I, and the way we are, you know, you heard, you saw how we pay our own airfare.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We don't go looking as people have done. And God, I thank you for helping me to learn at an early age. Yeah. It's never about the money.
That's right.
Never.
That's right. So if we're going to meet young ministers across the country, it's just going to be to love on you, to fellowship with you, to lift you up, to boost you, you know, and what God's doing in your life. And that's mentorship is really what this generation needs. And that's what it's about. Discipleship is the biblical word. I hope I didn't just cuss, but that's the biblical word, discipleship.
Yes. Well, bless you, brother.
This is amen.
Yes.
All right. We love everybody. Thanks for tuning in on today's
Thanks,
show.
Everybody.
Today wasn't to rah, 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 and get you all excited like a Red Bull. But today was to give you the low lights, to ground you so that you can live this life, as the author said, limping with God, to become the servant of God, not to have God become your servant, but to truly be a servant of God in this final hour. We love you. Thanks for watching. God bless.
Praise God. This is Bishop Joseph Castillo, and I trust that you were encouraged and impacted by that message. Whenever a word of God goes forth by an anointed fivefold ministry gift, it leaves an eternal impact. So I want you to share this podcast on your social media, tweet it out, send it to your friends and your family so they can also receive this word of God. Now, if you're listening today and you haven't settled accounts with God, if you know you're not living right, let me tell you, Jesus came to this world not to condemn you, but that you can have life. And if you pray today with me, opening up your heart, repenting of your sin, God will give you a fresh start. Just open your mouth out loud and repeat after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you now. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Wash me in your blood. Give me new life. Father, I repent. From this day forward, I belong to you. Satan, I renounce you and the works of darkness, and I receive now the power of the Holy Spirit to give me new life and strength to overcome sin. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to contact the ministry right now. Send us an email at anifcontact@gmail.com. anifcontact@gmail.com. And I'm going to send you some videos, some free books, just everything you need to grow. And we're going to connect you with the local church in your area, because this Christian life has to be lived with brothers and sisters, and you need pastors and teachers and men of God to walk you through, or women of God to help navigate and teach you and grow in the things of God. So we love you. We thank you for listening today. We ask you to share this podcast. Sow into the ministry. Give at anifTulsa.com. That's www.anifTulsa.com. Thanks for listening. This is Living Proof with Joseph Castillo.